Well, today we're going to talk about what it means to really, really know God. Some weeks ago, I asked some of you to give me a scripture that you want us to preach from. And one of our members sent this scripture into the by way of the email saying, I want you to preach about Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. So we're going to talk about Romans 5, 1 and 2 today. And it's titled, The Power of Access. The Power of Access. Now, we have it on the screen as well. And so if you didn't bring your Bibles, don't worry. I got you covered. We're going to have some verses for you. Don't even worry about it. Amen? I've got 30 Bibles on my BlackBerry. Folks say, preacher, where's your Bible at? I got so many Bibles in my pocket, technology and all of this. And sometimes, you know, it gets to the point where you just say, hey, listen, the main point is not the fact that you're carrying a Bible, but that the Bible's carrying you. That's the main thing. And so we want to deal with the power of access. And I want to ask all of us a question this morning. I want to ask you this very simple question. Come on, Brother Darren, and pop the slide for me. Who would you rather be? This guy on your left or this guy? Now, I want you to look at that picture for a minute. Who would you rather be? You got this guy here. I don't know who he is, but boy, it looks like he's got a heavy load. Can you guys see this guy? All right. Darren, turn off all the lights for me. I want to make sure the folks see this guy. There it is. Thank you, Brother Matt. Man, that dude. Then I look at this guy. And I don't need to think long. I can easily. I want to be like this guy. The guy on your right. I want to be like him. I definitely don't want to be like him. Because this guy looks like he's got it rough. And you say, looks can be deceiving. I don't think so. I think this guy has it rough on the left. And he's carrying all this wood, which means he doesn't have any heat. So he's got to make his own heat to cook his own food. This guy looks like he just got a job. And so I'm like, hey, yeah, that means money's on the way. I want to be like that guy. How about you? Well, here's the reality. Here's the reality. Most Christians live like this guy. That's the real deal. And I know that in this age of reality TV, I wonder what your life would be like if we showed you as a reality show with no editing on True TV. And it would be called Pastor Forrest Marriage Reality Show. What would that look like? In reality, a lot of Christians, they live just like this guy. They're carrying around a whole lot of stuff in their life, not because they want to, but because they don't understand that they don't have to. And they're working too hard and getting too little out of life. And we can look at those great four pillars of life, your career, your health, your marriage, and your relationships, and look at those. And many of us have a lot of stuff that we carry around, and it's as if we somehow get some weird delight out of saying, look how heavy my load is. I am truly reminded by Jesus that he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what would he do? He said, I'll give you rest. So why are we living like this guy? I remember in the Epistle of Peter, he's saying something like this, cast your cares on the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. So why do we live like this? Why do we go through life in this semi-depressed state of mind, and Christian sinners look at us and they like, what's wrong with you? And nobody has a smile on their face and you look like you just ate a sour lemon. Why do we live like this guy? I think that's a question we need to ask. And I know there's a lot of Christians. Too many Christians live like this guy instead of the other guy. And it's a choice that we make. It's a very foolish choice because there's no joy in this life. Although we shout about joy and we talk about joy and we act like we got joy. And then Monday through Saturday until we can make it back to old blessed hope, we live like this guy. Well, let me tell you why. Because we don't take advantage of the greatest, most powerful resource that we have. And that resource is called access. That's your number one weapon. That's your number one instrument, tool. Give it whatever term or title you want to give it. But when it comes to trying to make sure that your life counts for yourself, counts for God, counts for the people around you, you got to understand, you got access. And that access means something because everybody doesn't have it. Okay? Everybody doesn't have it. Well, who has it? Who has it? All believers in Jesus Christ have access. Look at the passage of scripture there where it says in Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. Let me say that again. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You got access to who? To God. Well, wait a minute. I don't feel like I have access. And that's probably part of your problem. It's not about how you feel. It's about what the Bible declares and says and states about you. If you've got faith in Jesus, then we have been brought into a position of accessibility towards God. We can access him. And every Christian has it, not just preachers, not just Bible teachers. Every single Christian, no matter what your situation is in life, you are entitled to access God. God has to hear your prayer. Yes, he does. He has to hear your prayer. You say, Pastor, well, give me some examples. Break it down to me. How many of you ever raised a child and when that baby cries, as much as you don't feel like listening to that baby, you're eventually going to do whatever that baby tells you to do? You would appreciate the baby not making all that noise and you're going to do whatever it takes. Amen. Baby don't feel like being in church. Baby's going to make some noise. You're going to get up and you're going to walk out of church. You know why? Because the baby told you to. Why? Because the baby has access. The baby has access to you. And you don't have no right to ignore that baby. Why? It's your baby. Amen? Baby loud and screaming and crying. And folks saying, why don't you do something about your baby? Now, consider this. If you and I have enough sense to listen to the cries of our children, doesn't God have as much sense as we got? I mean, really, you know, I think God is pretty smart. The Bible says he's omniscient. He knows everything. Now, he has to have as much sense as you. I know you all got a lot of sense in here. But I got to give God credit that he's got to have at least as much sense as you. So if your baby cried and you got enough sense to say, well, let me go ahead and take care of my baby. Well, how much more would God do the same thing? You got access. And with that access comes what? Well, let's make sure we define it. You got to understand, access is a right. That's what access is. You say, well, Pastor, help me to understand what a right is. A right is a privilege, and it's exclusive. You need to understand it. Not everybody has the access to God that you have. Now you say, Pastor, you mean sinners don't have the same level of access that I have? That's exactly correct. Now, a sinner can be saved. A sinner can pray and do all of this, but a sinner cannot call God Father because they already got a father. And I don't even want to go there, but just suffice it to say, God, who is our Heavenly Father, we have this right, this privilege here to obtain or make use of or take advantage of something. You mean to tell me we're to take advantage of God? We're to make sure that we appropriate in our life every single resource that God has placed in our midst or in our grasp. Yeah, but that seems like we're taking God for granted. You're not taking God for granted. What you're doing is making use of all that God has given you to live the life that God has called you to live. That's what you're doing. There's no sense of self-aggrandizement in which you say, well, let's see, it feels like I'm just abusing God. You can't abuse God. He's got too much stuff. Listen, you need to take advantage of everything that God has given you so that you can deal with the issues and the problems and the stuff in your life. God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. So he has placed within your reach everything that you need to live the life that he has called you to live. The difference between living that life and living the messed up life that we sometimes live is we don't have the opportunity of access because we don't know that God is accessible. God is not accessible based on the life I lived before him. He is accessible based on my relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, if God was accessible based on how I lived, I'd never get a prayer answered. and neither would you. Neither would you. If God simply said, well, I'll listen to you as long as you walk in right, man, I don't know how many of my prayers would just, my goodness gracious. I mean, our thoughts are sinful to God. Our thoughts are sinful to God, and we have very little control over our thoughts. Amen. But we still have access. You say, Pastor, give me another example. When that child is bad, do you still listen to him or her? Why? Because it's your baby. Oh, bad boy. Now, sometimes you got to spank that child. Unless you're Leave It to Beaver and you're going to just talk and negotiate. Yeah, that works. How many of y'all are old enough to remember Leave It to Beaver? I mean, Beaver would get into all kinds of trouble. He would climb up on all kinds of statues and billboards and get his clothes dirty and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm about 10 years old watching. I said, man, he gonna get killed. He gonna get a whoop in. And Ward would sit him down and go, now, Beef. And that's why he kept on doing crazy stuff. Ward Cleaver. Get up there in the room and now, Beaver, are you sorry, Beaver? Yes, Father. And in the next episode, he's doing something stupid again. It's called access. Access is the right to take advantage of the things that God has given to you, and you don't need to apologize to anybody if God blesses you because you took advantage of God's blessings in your life. You don't owe nobody an apology. If God blesses you and you are able to appropriate the power and might of God in your life and you're walking in victory, you don't owe nobody an apology who chooses to live in bondage. If God sets you free because you're following his financial precepts and principles and you're living in your marriage and your relationships and doing things right and God seems to be blessing you and the sun seems to be shining in your life, you don't owe an apology to me if I choose not to allow God to bless me. And I don't have no right to be jealous of you. Amen? Comparing Kool-Aid. No, we don't have no chance to do that. You got to just simply get your own. Amen. I got access, you got access. No, but my access ain't like your access. That's a lie. There is no levels of access. It's just access. And it's not reserved for the super holy and the super spiritual and the guy who shows up at church with a big old giant print Bible and a nice suit every day, every Sunday. It's not for that person. It's for anybody. And it's especially for those who are broken and bruised by life. And you have to understand that. You have to understand that you and I have access, and there's nothing wrong with that access, and we need to start taking advantage of it. Amen. So, access, what is it? Access with God is power. Access with God is power. Power to endure, power to conquer sin, power to forgive others. Amen. Power to love everybody, power to love anybody. That's what access with God equals. It equals power, not black power or military power or political power. I'm talking about personal infused power that allows you to live above yourself. You can love people that you know don't love you and don't deserve your love. You can forgive everybody and anybody who's done anything to you and you can keep on stepping. Why? Because you got some power. They can talk about you like a dog and you can treat them like royalty. You know why? You got some power. You can ignore those who spit in your face and keep on keeping your head lifted up in Jesus' name and pray for them while you do so. You know why? You got power. You can allow that marriage, even though it looks like it's going to be all fractured and tormented. And you know, you can go to that person and say, I love you anyhow. You know why? You got some power. And you can forgive. You've got power to endure. You've got power to hang in there. You've got power to make it. But in order to access the power, you got to access God. You cannot continue to play church and play Christianity and shout on Sunday and lose on Monday. You got access, honey. You can walk in whatever level of victory you choose to walk in, but there's a process to it, and it's called accessing God. And there's no other way that I can break it down to you. God is not going to step in unless he's invited. I wish the Lord would fix my marriage. Invite him into your marriage. Well, you see, so-and-so, I don't care about so-and-so. You invite God. Quit making excuses why you don't want to invite God, because God might do something you don't want him to do. I wish God would break this in my life. No, you don't. That's why you won't pray. Because if he does, you'll start wanting it again. And you call that what? The cycle of sin and regret. You want God to do the right thing on your behalf, but you don't want him to do the right thing. Because when you give God control, God will take the situation over and he will do what is necessary, which could sometimes be painful. It may demand of you some sacrifice in your attitude and in your position, in which you got to give way and let God have control. And that's the main reason why saints don't access God, because they want to maintain control. Because in order to access God, you got to relinquish control of the situation to God, including that attitude that you have in your mind about the person, place, or thing. You got to relinquish that, and you got to say, okay, God, I'm going to give this up, and I'm going to let you step in it, and I'm going to step back. Well, see, we don't want to step back. We want to stay in it, and we want God to be in it, and we want God to be on our side. And God's saying, no, I'm going to let you go ahead and go about doing what you're doing. You fall down enough, maybe you'll realize that's not the right procedure. One of my members was telling me he's an ex-Marine, and one of the things that they would make you think sometimes is that you could be a Superman, but after you get enough knots upside the head, maybe you're not Superman. I believe God allows us to fall sometimes so that we'll realize falling's not fun. He allows us to experience certain consequences because of the choices we make, so he can teach us that perhaps it's not best when we're in total control and we make all the decisions. Maybe we need somebody to make those decisions for us. And some of us are living those consequences. Some of us are living those circumstances. But here's the good news. God can still be accessed and he can still turn the situation around. He can turn the situation around. You say, my situation is too big a mess. Is it too big a mess for you? I agree with that. It is too big for you. You created a mess too big for you, but it's not too big for God. It's not too big for him. And your broken situation, your messed up situation, whatever it is, the circumstance that is negative based on whatever choices you made, listen to me, that's an invitation to pray and ask God to bring you through. God is using your mess to say, let me have it. Give it to me. He's not saying, that's what you get. He's not like us. Amen. He's not like some of these hypocritical saints. God told me a couple of years ago, I'll never go to church. Church full of hypocrites. I got to give him credit. He didn't lie. Listen, church is full of a lot of hypocrites. Amen. But you know what? I'd rather be a hypocrite on my way to heaven trying to get there than a sinner who's not. The Bible makes hypocrites of us all. I ain't no hypocrite. Then you, really? Then you don't need to be in church, because you got the Bible all squared away. We need God. We need the word, because we're not what we should be. There's hypocrisy in all of us. Amen. But that's why we access God. That's why we depend on God, because the life he's called us to live is a life that is above the life we once lived. And it requires that we depend upon him and that we access him and that we understand that reliance and connectivity with God is the key and nothing else. All the shouting and all the jumping and all the singing is not going to set you free if you're not accessing God. And you have to, well, Pastor, when I worship, aren't I accessing God? No, you're experiencing God. You access God when you relinquish control and say, God, take over. That's access. Worship is worship. That's experiencing the presence of God. Access is, God, take this. I don't want it anymore. And whatever you decide to do, I'll be satisfied. That's called access. Now you've got your access pass. You're in the door. And let me tell you, if you give it to him, don't be trying to take it back. Don't be trying to take it back. And I want to talk to you all. Can I just talk real? Amen. Let's go to the hood. Newstead Natural Bridge. Go to the hood. Somebody said, what? The reason we don't access God, God is not going to make you do something you don't want to do. He's not going to make you love somebody you don't love. What? No, I need to break it down for some of us. If you don't want a situation, this has got to be volitional. You got to want God to do whatever. See, as long as you got some of you in it, God don't want nothing to do with it. You better wake up and listen to what I'm saying. He's not going to make you do something you don't want to do. God gave me this love for my wife. I couldn't stand her. No. You relinquished control and God birthed a new attitude in you. That's what happened. And that's the only way you're going to have victory. That's the only way you're going to have a liberty from every situation that can come in your life. And listen, Satan loves to target weak Christians who think that they can carry the load by themselves. He loves Christians who flex their muscle and quote Bible verses and rebuke them in the name of Jesus. He eats some people up for breakfast. Running around speaking in tongues and prophesying. Well, man, but Satan just looking. All right. Wait for this dude for a minute and get out of church. Wait for this dude to get out of church and I'm going to eat him alive. Amen. See, I used to be that guy. Apostolic. Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, Church of God in Christ. And I'm not going to name churches because y'all know them already. I'm just coming out of service and Satan said, I'm going to step my foot out and trip you up. Why? Because you think because you've been in church, you all that now. And all of a sudden your arrogance and pride gets in the way. And just like that, Satan just, you finish out? You done? All right, let's go do this now. Oh, y'all don't like that, do you? Let me preach it some more then. Since y'all don't like it, let me preach it a little bit more. I was cooking barbecue. My wife knows that I love to barbecue during the summers, and I plan to have the whole church over one time, but don't count on it too soon. We're in a recession. Food's expensive. I'm on a preacher's salary. I guess we could do BYOB, bring your own barbecue. Your own barbecue. Pastor said he got him to party. BYOB, bring your own barbecue. True story. So it's Sunday, and really, you know when I love to barbecue? Right after church. I come home, get, you know, changed up, hit the grill. Well, I come home this particular Sunday. It's after church. There's no charcoal. So I run up to the store and get some charcoal. And so while I'm doing it, there's this guy. He's up there kind of in a drunken kind of state, you know, and all of that. And so I'm just getting my barbecue, the charcoal grill, and ready to go. And then there's another gentleman who walks in, press suit, looking good, big old cross and all of that stuff around the shoulder. And he gets a six-pack of beer. Oh, it gets better. So I'm standing there, and I'm watching the whole thing. And remember, I don't have my church clothes on. I'm the pastor. But I'm looking like somebody who's just looking for some barbecue charcoal, you know. So I'm just sitting in there in sweats and stuff. And so I noticed something. The guy who was just kind of standing around loitering, kind of in this state. You know who I'm talking about, right? Amen. And so he's just, no, I'm serious. You see him all the time, West Florissant and 270 and stuff. You know, give money and stuff, you know. Come on, y'all, please. So he looks at the guy with the suit and says, hey, weren't you in church today? This is the sinner talking to the guy who just got out of church. And the guy, yeah, I was in church, man. It was great. What church you go to? And you got to understand, at this point, I done almost dropped the charcoal. I'm just like, this is going to be great. And I go to da-da-da-da-da temple, da-da-da-da-da, apostolic, da-da-da-da-da. And the guy said, how could you leave the house of the Lord and go and drink some beer? And the guy is sitting there and he just takes it on up to the cash register. Buys his beer, go home. And I just sat there and said, wow. You think folk ain't looking at you? You know, if there's any reason why you need to have access, people are watching that don't go to church. And they looking at your marriage. They looking at your attitude. They looking at how you talk, how you treat, how you drive. Got a big old cross decal on there and you done cut somebody off while you texting. And ain't nothing saved about that. People, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This guy's going to put that beer back. He ain't putting nothing back. He went ahead and got his beer. He went home. But for a sinner in this kind of drunk state to say to somebody who just got out of church, and the guy said, I just went to so-and-so church. And the guy said, how could you to be rebuked by a sinner? You need access, folk, because folk are watching you. And God is depending on us. He's requiring us. He's demanding us that we love him. Amen? Amen. Got to have the right connection. Come on. Got to have the right connection. So how do we establish and maintain the right connection with God? What can we do? I'm going to teach you that right now in these next few minutes. How to maintain and establish, or how to establish and maintain the right connection with God. In order to establish the right connection with God, you must have faith in Jesus Christ. That's number one. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, establishing a connection with God is easy. You just believe. But maintaining the good connection, that's another story. See, you can go and give your heart to Jesus and you got a connection. See, that's the first step. Everybody can do that. Anybody can do that, actually. Whoever God should call to salvation, that's an easy thing to do. You can make the connection, but you got to keep it. You got to keep it. Now, I'm not talking about a salvation connection. I'm talking about a relationship connection. Amen. Once you make the connection in salvation, that's never severed. But you can sever the fellowship. You can break fellowship with God through sin. Amen. So I want to teach you how to maintain that relationship. How do you do it? How do we do it? Number one, confess your sins daily. That's number one. We're talking about maintaining, not establishing. Maintain. Number two, trust God completely. Quit leaning on your own understanding. Hide God's word in your heart and pray without ceasing. Let's look briefly at each of those. Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You cannot live a double life. You cannot straddle the fence. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. You're either in or you're out. And sin will break access. It will cut the connection in terms of your ability to have fellowship and get the power that you need to live the life of God. So you can't have any regard for iniquity in your heart, because that's where iniquity and sin originates. It originates in the heart of man. Amen. This is where it is. It starts right here in our heart. It starts right in the heart. My wife was telling me the other night why men do this and why men do that. Men has a heart problem. Women do too. But it's always a heart problem. And when you break it all down, all sin is related to heart disease. A disease of the heart in which we have fallen out of love with God and in love with our sin. Come on. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. You don't have to go around with sin on your life. Just walking around, man, I wish I could just find a way to get this mess and this guilt off me. Confess it. And do not confess it before the church. Confess it to God. You don't need to come up here and go, well, Pastor, I need to tell the church where I've been. No, you don't. Church can't save you. Church has no right to ask you where you've been. Well, Pastor, I just feel like, you know, I've been married a couple of times and God don't care. Yes, he does. He does not. Quit limiting his grace, telling God what he can't do, who he can't forgive, who he can't bring out. Well, stop right there because you're about to lie. God don't care about your past. That's why he gives you a new future. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creation. Old things are what? Yes. Wait a minute. But do you know why? Because he don't care. Amen. That's why. Why are old things passed away? Why do you not have to go back or allow somebody to take you back? Because God has removed it from the record of your life for eternity. Why did he do it? He don't care. See, that's man, all these standards and all this moral stuff that we try to throw out and family values and then all of this other stuff on the side. That ain't God. Yes, we're to walk in holiness, but if you fail, don't you think God loves you less? He loves you in as-is condition. If he didn't, there would be nothing for him to love. He loves you just like you are. You don't owe nobody an explanation of the life you've lived. You don't have to come in Blessed Hope and go, well, I just hope the church can understand that I've been down the street a little ways. Church don't care. Better not. And who ain't been down the street a little ways? Who ain't? Well, Pastor, I've lived a good, clean life. And who are you to determine what's good? Be grateful that you're in the family. Trust God completely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. As long as you're in control, God's going to step back just like this and go, go for it. Does he know you're going to get a knot upside your head? He does. Then why is he going to let me do it? So you'll realize that you're not the big cheese when it comes to making the decisions. Maybe you need to turn that thing over to God. And sometimes pain preaches a better sermon than any pastor. Hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You got to meditate on the word. Just don't read it and quote it and go, Jesus wept and all that other foolishness. It's got to be in there. And when it is in there, the Spirit of God can access it and give you the strength you need to overcome. That's what you got to do. Oh, you mean to tell me? Listen to me. All of us know what it means to hide something in our heart. There's no theology behind this. When you was out in the world, You hid words in your heart, sinful songs, right? You could quote them. Do you know this little baby how they can quote a rap song by Kanye West? Why? It's hidden. And they can access it just like that. Now, I'll be frank with you. When these guys are rapping and hip-hopping, I don't have a clue what they're saying. But my kids do. And they can quote it. And I'm saying to myself, there's only one way you could possibly have picked up on that so fast. You love it. You love it. Boy, I wish they could do mathematics as they can Kanye West. I got one hand clap from that. Oh, no, it's too late now. Too late. Wait, you're so late. Don't even try it. Oh, I better clap. Pastor really scored on me that time. He got me. I guess you're probably saying, well, I don't know math, Pastor. Okay, well, don't worry about it. Lastly, pray without ceasing. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. I want to say something about this verse because last night my wife and I were out, and for some reason she felt the need to preach this sermon to me on this verse. I have no idea. Yes, I do. I do. Okay. And I just had to basically tell her, stop, stop. Flesh is willing. Our spirit is willing. Flesh is weak. Spirit is. And I don't know that. And what had happened was, my wife had been contacted by a whole bunch of folk, all of them having problems. And she just simply began quoting that verse. It really is true. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, you say, Pastor, what was wrong with that? Well, we forgot the first part, watch and pray. You know why we get into temptation? Spirit is willing, flesh is weak. But we don't watch and pray. You're absolutely right. We don't watch and pray. So you got to do the first half. There's two components of that scripture. It's watch and pray. Then know. Why? Why do I need to watch and pray, Jesus? Because you will meet a temptation that is bigger than you. So you need to be prayerful. To every bondage, addiction, and situation in which we feel that we don't have control, you know what the biggest problem is? We don't watch and pray as we should. The spirit is willing. Truly your spirit is willing. I know you love God, but your flesh and my flesh, we are pre-programmed to mess up. We're pre-programmed to just throw it away. How many of you have a self-destruct button? It comes alive around your teen years especially. And you know, and some of us, we just saw that button. We are bunt, bunt, bunt. You're just pressing the mess out of it. We even beat it like this. It's called the sin nature. Stay out too late and study too little. You know why? That's that pre-programmed button. Man, I got finals tomorrow. I can't go to church. But you can go to the club the night before. Come on, pal. All right. Come on, pal. I know my college students are like, I hate you, Pastor. But I'm telling you the life I've lived. You press that self-destruct button. Bump, bump, bump. Nothing good comes out of it. Nothing good comes out of it. I remember going out one night before an exam and got to the exam. I'm in Christ, but I ain't living like it. And I get to the exam and I pray that the Lord will give me success. Guess what? He didn't. But when I quit going out and started studying, guess what? It came. And I didn't, but here's the beauty of it. And thank you, those of you who responded. Thank you for giving me that insight. If you do it God's way, you don't have to pray for success. Amen. So I stopped praying for success on tests. I just studied and did what I was supposed to do. And I noticed that when I did that, I didn't have to go, God, give me the grace to do well. I had already been doing all the stuff I needed to do up until that point. So I just take the tests. And God does the rest. That's how the Christian life works. You don't go, oh, Lord, bless my marriage. You love your husband. Love your wife. Treat them with respect. Don't talk bad about them. Don't gossip. Don't go out on them. Don't do all that mess. And you don't have to pray. Bless my marriage. Treat your spouse right. With dignity and respect. Treat your church right. Treat your friends right. Love your enemies. And you don't have to do all this. Oh, Lord, please do this. He'll do it if you do your part. Amen. This is what you got to do. You got to get connected and stay connected. Come on, Pastor Tony, help me out here. Get connected. Stay connected. And let me tell you, there will be times when you want to be disconnected. Sin will be out there and temptation will be out there, and you connected to God and temptation is calling your name, party over here, and you you connected, and boy, you just want to loosen your hands from that grip every now and then, and you can hear them, party over here, amen, I hear you, and you trying to hold on to that chain. Nothing good comes out of letting it go. Nothing good will happen for you as long as you're carrying your own load. I know who I would rather be. I'd rather be that guy in the suit. And here's the thing about it. I can be that guy. I don't have to carry around the weight of my own life. I can cast my burdens to the Lord. And that's the decision some of us will have to make today. Whose life you're going to live? Your life, or are you going to live the life God has for you? It's time. It's time to make the connection with God. Bow your heads. Let us pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word has been spoken, declared, and heard. Now your spirit is at work, ministering healing, ministering a connection to those who raise their hands and to those who raise their hearts. For everyone in this room, Father, you know their names, you know their situations, you know the obstacles they face. And Lord, we know this, that by them raising their hand, the connection was already made before I even began to pray. You already touched them. So Lord, we want to thank you for touching hearts and minds today by your word. It wasn't I who did it. It wasn't the music. It was your spirit moving and ministering to those who were in need. And Father, we lift up everyone in this room, and we lift up our children who are upstairs and others who simply need a connection. Father, be the connection they need right now. Break the yoke and grip and cycle of sin and defeat and regret and guilt. And when they walk out of this church, may they experience a joy and a refreshing from heaven. Not some ecstatic emotional experience that comes and goes when the music is stopped, but a sustained presence of God that will give them the right perspective on how to live for you. Teach us all, Lord, that we have access, and give us the grace to take full advantage of it in time of need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give them praise. Think about who you want to be. That's the question you have to ask. Every day, you're going to make a choice. You're going to either carry wood or you're going to be free. You're going to make that decision. May God give you the grace to make the right decision, is our prayer.